I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now, another episode of Rochester Peace Theater.
Welcome to another edition of Rochester Peace Theater, the first one for the 2016-2017 season. I'm your host, Justine Page. Naturally, you're obviously on my station. We have gone on hiatus for a little bit, but do not worry. It feels like it's been forever, but it was so worth it. So worth it. They've skipped having a whole summer vacation and made Rochester this brand new and improved Jiva Theater. Jiva made something really, really special for you, Rochester. I really hope you go. I'm talking some amazing new things here, like a whole new Jiva. Like, I'm talking a new look, a new setup, but still phenomenal plays that are on stage. They're kicking off this season with what many would consider, and I do as well now, a classic. It's A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which I've got to say, I am totally digging this whole new, like, let's start the season off with a comedy thing. I love it. Right. It makes me feel like, because you're getting into the dreary months, and I could totally go into the psychology behind it, but either way, I just really like to laugh. If you've never heard of the play, shame on you. Because if you open your ears to the beauty that is a well-fashioned Stephen Sondheim play, it's a comedy, it's a tragedy, and that's pretty much the introduction you get at the beginning of the play anyway.
All right.
So I'm I am joined by Michelle Ragusa, who plays Domina, and James Michael Riley, who plays Senex. And I'm going to have them actually, if you guys could introduce your characters. Thank you so much for coming in, by the way. I know it's a very active play. So being able to have some time off is really nice. I totally understand it. But James, if we could start with you.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's always hard as an actor to come in at the crack of 10:30. You know, and when we're working late, but no, it's I'm very happy to be here talking about it. My character's name is Senex, that's a name that comes from Italian Commedia dell'arte. Senex means old man, which just goes to show you that you should really do your research before you sign your contract, because I didn't know that till like a week and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah. No, we were like frankly open, and then I found, oh, that's what my character's name means. Yeah. No, I really didn't know that. So
you're so typecasted.
Yes, I know. I know. Thank you.
Bless
Thank you.
You
so much.
I mean, yes. You don't look it, by the way. Okay. But we'll get into that later.
Okay, fine.
I mean, so sorry. I'm in married now.
Yes. So there are. Let's see. What is his role in the show? The basic idea is that it is a. There is a young man who spies across the street in a house of courtesans a young woman that he instantly falls in love with, and then she mistakes me for the man who bought her. That is her rightful owner. And so that's just part of the wacky hijinks that ensue as a result of misunderstandings in this show.
It is so brilliantly written and very, I don't even know how to describe it, because I'm just like, it was a whirlwind. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. Stephen Sondheim said a thing about it where he said it's like a Swiss watch. He didn't write the story. He didn't write the book. He only wrote the music and lyrics. But he said it's like the perfect farce.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely is. Yeah. So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about Domina.
Okay. Well, good morning. Domina, I don't have to give you too much explanation to that. However, I will say that the original concept for this character was more along Dominant. And Melissa Rain Anderson, our fabulous director.
One of my favorites.
She is
one of my Jiva favorites.
Such a chick. And, you know, there's basically two female principals and then all the beautiful courtesans. But she decided, as opposed to having the virgin and the shrew wife, normally Domina is played by someone who is a little more on sort of a visual sight gag. She could be a little overweight, not very attractive. A lot of the comedy leaned into that, and she decided that she wanted Domina to be a dominatrix.
Get it.
Get it, girl. When my agent called me. No, initially, no, I said, oh, we have an audition for you. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Jiva. I said, well, I love Jiva. I did Company there. Great. But I'm not right for this. And I think people forget that. They think, oh, it's funny. Let's call in Ragusa. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not, it's a sight gag. I'm not a sight gag. And they said, well, apparently Melissa Rain Anderson is directing. I said, okay, interesting. And she wants a different take on this character. She wants a dominatrix. Twice as interesting. I guess I'll show up. So I did. I did. And I had to bring my outfit in a bag because I couldn't wear it on the subway.
Well, come on.
Just leave it at that. Yeah, they were like, did you get on the train dressed like that? I was like, no, of course not. I did, and I made some money on the side. No.
Yeah, see?
So
that, no judgment.
No judge. No judge.
Not here, not in the studio. That's so awesome.
Yeah, so it's good. So the interesting thing for myself and for Jim, who plays my husband, and a couple other characters in our exchanges, we really had to fight against the language because a lot of the humor is because she's not an attractive woman.
Right.
So we've had to turn it more into just sort of a frightening. It's frightening because she's so sexual.
But
that's
there's an attraction fear instead of just like you're ugly and a shrew and I want to get away from you. You know,
right.
It's way more interesting to play it this way.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like I'm scared of you and excited at the same time.
Yeah.
Which you only see in like rom-coms where you're like, I don't know what to do with this really dominant woman. And it's so crazy, which I personally love having. It's what my mother used to call. Actually, I won't get into that. This is
okay. Mom, call us later.
Yeah, no. My mother brought me up well to take charge, if you will, in terms of those kinds of situations where the man doesn't necessarily have to lead. And I think Domina is a very interesting, now that I know, because I've never actually seen a funny thing happen on the way to the forums. Uh-huh. This is my first introduction to it. So to see it in this way, now for most things that happen at Jiva, I'm bad at it where I don't do the research, which makes me seem like an uninformed reviewer, but I like to experience it as, you know, as pure as possible for somebody who's like seeing it for the first time.
But I think that that's great. Like when I saw Hamilton, I didn't listen to the recording first. I just wanted to be in it.
Right.
I didn't want to know.
Right.
You know, I think that that's, I like that better.
That.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's
absolutely,
so much more fun because then it's like when you read the book before you go see the movie kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think this was a really interesting play. And it's really very much, you know, talking about the way that it was written. It's like Jack Benny meets Abbott and Costello meets like Showgirls. So I don't even know how.
Nice.
Because I was a huge Abbott and Costello fan, but I also felt like there should have been a little bit more of the orchestra playing around with some Jack Benny music or something.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. That's a good trifecta.
That is really good. Yeah. We got to tell Melissa that.
A little bit of Lucy in there,
yes.
too.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was, I think it was nothing short of phenomenal. But how, I have to ask, like, how much of a workout is it for you to kind of run around and you're going from up to down to here to there to singing, which I will never not be impressed. This is why I'm more impressed by Broadway stars and by people who perform in musicals, because it takes way more talent to do that than it does to perform on a stage and lip sync and dance.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Britney Spears.
Oh,
sure.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
So
just to name names.
So how is that for you on a nightly basis? Like, is it a pretty good workout? I would imagine.
Yeah, there's certainly times when I get out of breath. I mean, there's one long song, and then also we have a section at the end, which we all call the chase.
Yes.
Five or
yes.
10-page scene where everyone is in motion. I think every single person in the cast is in motion. Mm-hmm. And it is good exercise. But even more than that, you know, what you were saying about, referencing back to Abbott and Costello and things like that, these guys drew on vaudeville. And so vaudeville is big performances. It's like there's almost a certain, I hope I'm not misusing the word, but almost like an aggression to them where you want to reach the back of the house.
Right.
And you may be competing with, you know, in the case of vaudeville, competing with noisy people and drunks and poor lighting to reach the back of the house. So this show was written for that sensibility. So it requires us to kind of be at like a 9 or a 10 a lot of the time.
Go 11.
Okay. Yeah. And sometimes
go 11 or go home.
Pretty much. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for me, I think the chase, you know, my character, I make a big splash in the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. And then I sit downstairs and knit. So I don't have a lot of heavy lifting, but the chase is definitely a crazy, wacky. I mean, if the audience could see what's happening backstage, is almost as the stairs, the way you have to orchestrate getting out of the way for who's running by. If you're waiting for an entrance, you have to be sure. I mean, you have to stand out of the way because people are running the escape stairs. There's all these stairs that take you up to the second level.
See, this is what I love to hear
this
about.
This is the stuff. And like, I've got this gown on, so I've got to, you know, Jim's behind me. I got to like bunch this gown up in one hand and then use the other hand on the railing because the stairs are really steep to get up to the top. And then we have a curtain we have to move, and the curtain used to buckle, so they added a 5-pound weight to it. So now it's heavy, so you have to pull it across. I mean, it's hysterical. Yeah.
And what you said, ain't got nothing on you guys.
And what you said about the set, you know, liking sets. This is a set that there are two stories you can go up from stage level.
Right.
So there's a lot of up and down stairs, which are very steep stairs because there's limited space backstage and have a more gradual staircase. So they're really steep. And at the top level, if I stand on my tiptoes, my head hits the light grid. Like, that's how tall the set is.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's, they're really using the space. Like you talked about, the performances should be at 11. The set's at an 11 vis-a-vis the size of the stage. It's just like bursting.
Yeah, you know? It is. And it looks like it, too. It's very all-encompassing, which, and I say it every time I have an interview, is that's what I like about Jiva, is it's almost like there isn't a fourth wall. You know, because it's so immersive.
It's a partial thrust is what they call it. So it's like we are thrust into the audience.
Right.
And I love that.
And I love the fact that half the time, you know, we were sitting on the balcony level, which is one of my favorite places to sit sometimes, except you kind of miss the fun on the ground, if there is fun on the ground. And I will say that there is fun on the ground through the aisles that you kind of have to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So that actually brings me to, you know, I've been listening to Kevin, and I've seen a lot of reviews, Kevin Sweeney from Jiva, talking about how every night gets better and better and different and different. And, you know, is there something that from the start to now that you've kind of been interested in, you know, kind of taking your own impression on, or something you kind of tweaked a little bit?
Well, don't you find, I mean, with a show like this, especially, the audience is a cast member. So we always take our lead off the audience. Yep. And I have to say, I mean, the audiences have been unbelievably receptive, as I'm sure you noticed. But there are differences in laughs. There's differences, and it keeps an actor on their toes because you never really know from one show to the next how long a laugh is going to last. Sometimes it starts and then it dips and then it swells up again.
Right.
And you kind of ride that, you know, as a way, so it keeps you on your toes. And it's, I love that part of this show.
Yeah. There's been so much of that, especially like you said, Michelle, there's so many laughs in the show. It is just so gratifying. You're like, oh my God, this is what a comedy is supposed to be.
Right.
You know, and even for those of us who weren't in the early scenes, there's a great LED monitor in the green room backstage.
Okay, yeah.
The first time we did it for an audience, and just, oh, that noise. It was just narcotic, you know, because for 3.5 weeks we'd been in a rehearsal room where we're doing it for the director, the designers, the stage manager, and the other members of the creative team. And they've seen it 15, 20 times.
Right.
You know, you start to think that things that work fine don't work because people stop laughing.
You start to doubt it. It's like, that's not funny. It's like, they've just seen it.
Yeah. Which is one of the reasons that at one point in the process, Michelle gave us an unexpected day off because she's so
Melissa,
savvy.
Melissa, not me. Oh, if I could give people Michelle. Days off, that would be awesome. Yeah. If that was in my power.
Yes. I think you could. I think
with
you
the whip
could.
And
yes,
everything.
Like, yes. I know. I meant Melissa, our director.
She did.
And one of her reasons was, we've done it enough for each other. It's time. The learning that needs to happen now needs to happen in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. And it's so gratifying. It's just so fun.
That's awesome. We've got good audiences here. You know, a lot of it is really getting them there. And it was what I like about starting the season off with the comedies is you get a lot of younger people.
Yeah,
you do. And like, there was like this whole group, because again, we could see, and I'm creepy. So I watch everybody down, you know, on the floor, seeing who's laughing. And so there was this group of like teenagers that were sitting there, you know, or, you know, college students who were, you know, watching the play and getting really into it, which I love, because they didn't, you know, I don't think they were theater going, you know, kids at that point, but they I think they are now, which, like, I love the good convert.
Well, I had an interesting thing because, you know, they're saying with our show, recommended 12 years and up, because, you know, the costumes are a little tiny.
A little scandalous.
A little scandalous. Mm-hmm. But I have dear friends that drove here, and my goddaughter is 6. And she's a good theater kid. Like, she goes and she sees shows and she's great. And she's seen me in a couple things. So, of course, they have to come and see this. So
was she the one down front?
Yes.
Oh.
So I got special dispensation, you know, for Ava to be able to come. She giggled, screamed, and laughed through the whole thing.
It was so fun.
The cast, yeah, our lead, Steve Rosen, I ran into him backstage at one point, and he said, oh, her laugh, my heart is like swelling.
Oh.
And the next day, she recapped everything to me that she loved. She followed the story beginning to end.
Oh,
she's talking about the potions, and she was talking about when the three of us are all dressed the same and how we were running in the doors. She had a ball.
That's so great.
That's awesome.
And with regard to the stuff being say, they're saying for people people over the age of 12.
Right.
There's not crude language. You know, this is a play from 1962.
No.
So there is innuendo.
Yes.
But I think there's room for, you know, for someone young like that, that what is inappropriate will go over their heads.
Yeah.
And they'll still get to enjoy the spectacle, the chases, the fun, the wackiness, the physical comedy.
I think sometimes you kind of do that to be responsible as theater owners, because you would never want somebody to come and say, I am so insult, I brought my child, and how could you, you know, because you just don't know people. So if you say 12 and up, people can say, well, is there profanity? Is there nudity? It's
No.
There's just a lot of innuendo.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And there's this one part, too, where I got a little scandalized. I got scandalized. I'm almost 30, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And it was when one of the courtesans were doing their dances, mm-hmm. and it had to do with the woman with the snake, more specifically.
Yes.
Where it was, and I was just like, oh, okay, so that happened.
Okay.
Yeah, well. And I'm pretty sure that I was the only one in my row, and I had some older folks around me that I was the only one who jumped. I was like, oh, am I?
So
I become the prudential
should we say
part
31
of Rochester.
And up? Would that be better?
31 for the- and up. Yeah, that dancer was my friend's husband's favorite dancer.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. He goes, yeah.
Well,
yeah, they're beautiful
sure
girls and so talented.
And you know what? They're so funny because, you know, you say that you've got the female principals, but I feel like everybody has this massive, awesome role to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
so much fun to see them all come out. And you're like, oh, and there's so many little Easter egg things in there that I love, including about the cast themselves, where I giggle about it. And the guy who plays Pseudolus is just beyond excellent.
And just really the perfect role for him, the perfect time in his life.
Oh,
it's like this is the role. And Nathan Lane played it in the revival, and Zero Mostel, Phil Silvers. These are the people that played this role.
And
there is barely any scenery left over when that man is done.
That's so
he is
true.
Chewing that scenery,
that's
I tell
so
you
true.
What, in the best way possible.
We're so lucky to have gotten him. And you know, one of the cool things about that, his name is Steve Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on Broadway. He was in the original cast of Spamalot and some stuff. He's getting some great, you know, nominated for big awards in New York. But now he's from Rochester.
Get out.
No,
Here's this.
Well, as is Michelle, a Broadway vet who's back staying with his parents while he does a funny thing happen on the way to the forum.
I'm like, well, this is something that's going to mess with him for a while. I have to talk about the acrobatics involved in this.
Oh.
And I got the sneak peek because we did a little preview, Rochester Peace Theater, and they told us about how there was going to be these bigger pieces. And we were talking, you know, you mentioned earlier about how the sets are so intricate and you got to watch your way going out through this. But having this two-ring circus involved now, and I can only imagine the shenanigans that are now involved in actually trying to get out of the way even faster.
Yeah.
Because you have these guys running through and throwing on another costume and playing this person and playing that person. I mean, how is it to work? Have you ever worked in something like that? I've never seen anything like this at Jiva, and it's the most amazing thing. I love it.
Yeah,
I
would
say I'd be really good with it.
Yeah, the two ring circus. I mean, if this show wasn't already cranking at 100%, they elevate it to a place just beyond. It's just into the stratosphere, and I can't imagine the show without them, because normally there is not a circus element in form. It's just dancers and tumblers.
Yeah,
but the stuff that they do. They brought their whole bag of tricks, you know, the big, you know, the circle,
the big silver
that
hoop
that he is in, the silver
which
hoop.
Which always freaked me out.
And
they're going to crush their fingers.
And the balls, so to speak.
Yes.
I'll just leave that there.
Yes.
And their balls.
Loving up.
Yeah, and the fact that they're like swinging down from above the stage at the top of the show.
It's so wonderful. It's just, and they're so, and they're also such great actors. Like at first are they just circus
singers?
People? But they're great singers and actors, and they just, again, like I said, they just elevate us.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that they were actually a part of the Two Ring Circus when they first came out. I just thought that they were, you know, some totally super toned, super great looking guys that somebody found, you know, like, oh, hey, some theater company has like guys who've been playing, you know, in the Odyssey for a really long time as Roman soldiers. But so then until the Silver Hoop came out, and then I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what they were talking about. And it was honestly, and then after the show, you got to stick around. You know how they always tell you, stick around after the credits are done at the theater?
Yep, this is like that.
You have to stay. Exactly. Yep. You have to stay.
And I totally caught it on video, but I haven't posted it yet because I feel like I was going to get mad, like somebody was going to yell at me. But I took a picture, so I figured I can post the picture and be okay with it. But I don't know. It was so mesmerizing.
We're not authorized to answer that question.
No, and that's...
And you know what? There's something that, you know, that's unspoken thing with actors. You know, when you are doing your curtain call and you're coming out, there's actually nothing worse than seeing people running up the aisle to get in their car. You know, they can't wait one more minute. Well, there was a few people that did that early on in our performance. And I thought, you know what? I hope somebody who sees this show said to them, oh, and wasn't it amazing what happened after the curtain call? Because they don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boy, if there's ever a reason to hang, it's these people. Yeah.
Yeah. I just always want to say, we see you. You understand that.
Oh, yes, right.
This is not a movie.
And this is that that theater that we see everything. Mm-hmm. I can you see everything in that theater. It's
and the lights are so bright and the set is painted so bright. I feel like it's actually kind of lit the audience even more. You can really see almost all the way to the back.
That is actually so true. There's never a time in the show when you can't see the audience.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Yeah. It's more fun that way.
This is fair warning then for you guys as well. But 12 and up and wear good makeup.
And wear good makeup because we're judging.
Yeah. Yes.
But you know, what you were saying about that there seem to be, everyone seems to have a major role in this show.
Yeah.
I think that if anyone underscores that, it's the folks from Two Ring. They're playing what are called the Proteans.
Yes.
They're introduced early on. So they're basically the supporting characters. In one scene, they're a eunuch. In another scene, they're a citizen. In another scene, they're a soldier. So they're playing all these unnamed characters. I feel like they're practically leading roles in the show.
Yeah,
they never stop.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not to take away from the principals either, but it was just there. It's sometimes those little breakout roles where you're like, oh, this guy is really, he adds that extra magic to the scene as well.
Well, there's a moment when we're sitting in the green room during the first act. It's getting towards the end, and I'm not sure which one of our Proteans it is, but they do something on stage, and then all of a sudden you hear, while the scene is going on over our heads, running to get to the back of the theater to make his next entrance.
Yeah.
And the first time it happened, I was like, what is that? What's going on? And they're like, I don't know if it's Ben. It's somebody who's running to get to the back of the house.
I think it's Josh.
Maybe it's Josh.
He exits as a eunuch upstage right, and then he has to whip off that costume while he's running and put on a soldier costume, and then they're in the back of the house with someone riding on his back.
And we hear him like, go, over our heads.
He's the tall brunette. There's the tall brunette, the short brunette, and then the blonde.
And the blonde. He's the blonde.
He's the blonde.
Yes.
Okay. You'll know if you go. Like, when you go to see this, you'll know, because they're all very distinctive. And they were... Everybody was my favorite. And I do love the take on Domina as well. And Senex, you play an amazing Senex as well.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I know that role can be somewhat lecherous.
Yes.
Yes. It's so borderline that it's not quite as scandalized as it could be. So you bring this element of class to it. I just want to clarify
Thank you.
Well, he's very likable. Jim is very likable in the role, and you do empathize with him. You understand him. It's not like, you know, he's just so like lecherous that you don't like him.
Right.
It's a tricky thing, but because of the way that Michelle is playing the role and she and Melissa have crafted it, Domina's a more likable character.
Mm-hmm.
Senex's skirt chasing could potentially make him unlikable.
Right.
You know, but there are other things. Again, we have a savvy director. Things like, you know, the first time that I encounter the young courtesan, she jumps on me.
Right.
So there are certain ways you can handle it to take a, you know, like 1962 sensibilities and make them more enjoyable for a 2016 audience.
Oh, yes. Yes, but it still captivates, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fun flying things. So real quick, before we round off anything, we were talking before the mics went on about the bust of Domina, which, like, so to speak, welcome to modern day technology.
Yes.
So you mentioned it's 3D photography.
Oh, it's so cool.
And it's totally your face.
It is my face.
Oh, yeah.
They brought in these women who own a company here. I apologize. I don't know the name of the company, but they do this 3D photography. So I stood in the lobby with my face the way it is, with the whip in my mouth. We'll just leave that there as well. You have to come see the show. And they circled me with these cameras, and they basically made this bust of me in my costume with the whip and it's in plaster. And it is me. And the thing that was really cool for me to see, because I saw it before they put the whip in. Mm. They just wanted me to see it. You can actually see my tongue and my teeth.
So because creepy.
It is a picture. I know. But you know my husband wants it. He's like, you can put that on the mantelpiece?
Yes.
I'm like, well,
yeah.
I'll see if they'll give it to me. It was expensive. I don't know if they'll give it to me, but
and
it never
curious,
hurts to ask.
But they can never use it again. It's your face.
It's true. I want to put it in the garden, I think, for the neighbors to enjoy.
Then you put some little trolls around it, some gnolls.
Yes. But people love it because Jim carries it out. And I say, ah, there I am. And people were like, oh my, it's really her.
I know. And then it's you told me that match. It's actually your face. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it is. I was like, wow, that's very well crafted. And it looks heavy, you know, like it's actually a heavy bust when you carry it. And I'm just very surprised.
Yeah, they pull out all the stops. Jeeva's, boy, you know.
We have
this
a circus involved. Of course they pulled out all the stops.
We have a circus and a bust. But you know what? No, I will say, though, Jeeva, I mean, not for nothing, Rochester, y'all should be so proud to have a theater like this in your backyard, because every theater across the country is not like this.
No.
We are treated well. The production values are amazing. And congratulations.
Yeah.
And it looks beautiful inside. By the way, one of my favorite things, though, is because we sat on the balcony area that, and this is total side note, and no offense, this has nothing to do with you guys. This is totally me as a theater goer, that there's an entranceway that's separate now. You can go up the stairs and go past this beautiful lobby area and go right to your seat that way. And I was like, get out.
Yeah.
It's great. And the kitchen and the bar and there's food. And
the
it's amazing.
So we got there a little late because it's a little tiny. I'm sorry. But... I didn't get a chance to look at the menu all the way, but I was talking to my husband about it, and he's like, no, there's a lot of stuff on there that you'll eat. And I'm like, well, dinner then beforehand. Now it becomes a full date persona.
It's a full thing. You can come down, get your car all parked, and relax and have a nosh and a little cocktail. And
they have some meat-free choices. The cannoli is among the best I've ever had.
Yeah, we got to try the food. Yeah. The kitchen let us. There was a day during tech that they said, Phil, here's the menu. Fill it out. We'll feed you. And the pizzas and the sliders.
We'll try out our systems on the actors. A classic thing. You know, a joke in some
place. What actor's not going to show up for free food?
Yes, right. But in this case, it was fantastic. And I think there's also an opportunity before the show to order, and then at intermission, something will be ready for you.
Order your drink or your dessert or your food, and it's waiting for you.
Yeah. High tech.
They do that. It's really nice. And I think the new kitchen looks great, too. It's beautiful. Yeah. I'm so excited. I kind of walked in and was like, this is great. Can I have my drink? We got to go to our seat now. And then Mark came out and introduced, you know, the whole new season and then told us about the extra entryway, because I haven't had a chance to tour it yet. And I was just like, get out. This makes things so much easier. And the seats are phenomenal. Like, there's extra room.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeeva
and there's an elevator. There's an elevator to the second level.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's an old building, too. Like, it's not that it's something that's easily done in a lot of the old Rochester architecture. So kudos to Jeeva.
Yep.
Kudos to you guys for making this place so much fun. And thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate everything that Rochester has to offer, especially in terms of Jeeva. So Jeeva's, it's been too long. This has been a very long wait. It hurts my soul. But I guess absence makes a heart grow fonder or something.
Glad you made it back.
That's true.
So that does it for this episode of Rochester Peace Theater. If you haven't, get to go see A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. That's really difficult. It's a very long title.
It's a mouthful.
It is. Get your tickets at jeevatheater.org or go into the fancy new box office, because it's beautiful and you need to go see it. Until next time, I'm Justine Page. This is Rochester Peace Theater on WBEE.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.